This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 401, brought to you by Unity Number 1 from Valiant Comics and iFanboy listeners just like you. Hello, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 401. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and joining me are Paul Montgomery.
It's great to be doing this naked again. Thanks.
And Josh Flanagan.
I'm in a large coat and nothing else.
Well, that is at least classy. Paul's just walking around and hanging out.
We're not on video this time, so I can do whatever I want.
We are at fanboy.com. We like comics. We read comics. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best one, writes about it on the website, talks about it. We talk about the podcast. There's a whole bunch of new script bombs in here, along with all the other books of the week and the topics of interest. Quick warning and reminder, this is a review show, so we'll be talking about spoilers. A couple of these books have a couple of major ones. We'll be talking about those. So if you haven't read your books, pause the show and come back. Or just run away, never to return.
Do that.
It's really up to you. I mean, it's an extreme, but it's an option. This week, Josh had the distinction of reading 50,000 books and picking the best one.
I was like, at the beginning of the week, I was like, are there a lot of books out this week? And Connor was like, it's not that bad.
I didn't really look at the whole list.
It was bad. but not bad. It was good. I'll tell you, I actually had a tough time making a selection. There were a bunch of books.
It was a really good week.
It was a bunch of books I could have written about quite easily. And even though I really like Thor, I didn't want to write it, but I didn't have it. enough. I mean, come on. No, but so I went with my gut, which is sizable.
Growing every day.
Yeah. Well, it goes up and down, depending, right. Anyway, depending on how stressed out I am.
Punch of the week.
Batman Superman number 3. I know that Batman Superman number 2 was pick of the week last time. What do you want me to tell you? What do you want me to do? Doesn't matter. Yeah. This one, listen, it wasn't a perfect issue. It wasn't like everything, but I just really enjoyed the middle section with Child Bruce and Child Clark as they hung out together, and we got to see that part of their psyche, and I don't care if it was trite and it wouldn't have really happened, or I don't care where it fits.
Doesn't matter.
Because awesome. It was awesome. And I thought that while it seems odd, basically the story, and I'm actually kind of lost in the whole story, but I also don't care.
But the thing is, this is, as far as I can tell, this is Earth 2 Superman and Batman as kids.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's why they're happier as adults, because they had themselves as kids. They were friends as kids.
So the old Superman is like from the one, and the young Superman's from the other one.
Let's back up and just quickly recap what's happened. So Batman and Superman first have met, right? And they met in the first issue, the first time. And then they got sucked into Earth 2 by this mysterious character who we learn more about in this issue.
So they meet the older Earth 2 versions of themselves.
Right, and Wonder Woman.
Right, okay.
The characters we know from James Robinson's Earth 2 who are doomed to die in the war against Darkseid.
Okay.
Right.
But the thing is, none of that matters, because really,
no, I'm just giving you backstory.
It's a character and tone kind of thing. To like, what is it like to? It's like Back to the Future. We want to see the older version of yourself or the younger version of yourself. And these characters are so just well written. We know them so well, or we all know our own version of them, that it's just interesting to put them in a room and let them talk. This one took another step, and there was a sequence in the middle that was drawn by Yildiray Cinar, who is very, very different than Jay Lee. And I got to say, I like the idea of, I like this better than picking a guy who looks like Jay Lee to finish the pages that Jay Lee didn't do.
Yes.
And I thought it fit really well. I could read a miniseries of this easily. You know, mm-hmm. I don't care, like Clark and Bruce Summer Vacation, you know, 3 issues. Jesus, why did I not just pitch that? And I just enjoyed it. It got me in the gut. I think that there's something about, I've definitely been in the mood for good Superman content since the movie, which made me want it, but didn't quite give it to me. And we've talked about the movie ad nauseum, but you know, like, it doesn't sit well the further you get away from it. But I won't even give like the regular Superman book a shot, and I eagerly wait for the Superman Unchained stuff, even though I don't like the way it looks at all.
Well, this is good news for you, because Greg Pak, who writes this, is going to be writing Action soon.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that, because the other thing is that I think Greg Pak, I didn't really read very much of his Incredible Hercules stuff, but I made sure to read the Nazi stuff he did. He did a lot of Nazi work.
Magneto book, which is fantastic.
And then the Red Skull book after that.
Yeah.
Great stuff, and it really, I was like, this guy's really good, and I think we're just seeing a guy who's getting a lot better right now. Maybe he was always good. I don't know, but this is a really well written.
His characterizations are wonderful.
Yeah.
I love his Superman in here. I mean, I think really Superman is kind of the focus in this issue.
And you get that. You also get that. We get to spend more time with young, brash, dumb Superman in jeans, which nobody feels like they got enough. I don't know. None of us feel like we got enough.
He's, this is every episode, but yeah,
he's great though. He's kind of he's kind of dumb. He hasn't figured things out yet. He doesn't understand. He doesn't really like his older self. He thinks he's a dick.
It's just a great metaphor. Like, listen, 21-year-old Josh was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, you'll find no one to disagree with that.
Why did I go into business with him?
No, it was a bad move. For one thing, I have no skills. But I can't tell you that this issue was like this great issue that I was like, oh man, this all of it was technically, it wasn't, but I felt something. And I think that that's all the more important, because we form these relationships with these fake characters, and it's something that I am often blasé about. But it's a real thing, and I thought this one just hit those points in my brain really well. And I was like, I want more of this, and it left me wanting more. And then, you know, because I'm not giving Jay Lee enough credit, when we go back to the quote-unquote present, mm-hmm. and he's got that shot of Darkseid, you know, and it, with the red background, and he's, like, fluttering the Superman cape, I was just like, that's the best image that he's done for this book so far. Like, it totally, you know, left that, This is not good. And I love the presence of Darkseid. I love the presence of Darkseid more than almost any other villain outside of Joker, except, at least for me, Darkseid isn't quite as overused. No. He was for a little while there, but then they killed him, which was sort of useful.
But let's back up again to the middle section, because that really was the highlight. So they flash back to Unearth 2 to Alfred's car breaks down in Smallville, and he's got little dour Bruce in the back seat, and Clark happens by because he's lost his baseball, and it was next to the car, and so two lonely boys see each other through the window and go off to play baseball, and neither one of them really has a close friend. Bruce has no friends. Clark doesn't have any close friends because he's got this secret he's trying to hide. And
that first page of Clark playing baseball, I thought was really deft.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, he hits the ball when he's not paying attention because he forgets that he's not supposed to be amazing. They're like, how come you can't hit like that normally? And he's like,
good beginner's luck. So then they play
like a baseball. Country Time Lemonade commercial.
Yeah, and then Jonathan Kent and Alfred kind of bond over, you know, watching their kids play. And
well, they're both adopted fathers.
Bruce teaches Clark how to flip a guy. And
is your ride here?
Apparently someone died outside because Warren won't let up. We're going to push through the pain. So they, you know, Bruce teaches Clark some self-defense. Clark teaches Bruce some baseball.
You know, can we just on that bit where Bruce flips Clark over and puts him down?
Yeah.
That is the most manga page I've seen in a DC book in forever.
It is.
Look at the speed marks on Clark's nose.
Yeah.
And look at the lines through that. There's a little craft stuff for those of you paying attention, but that is a very Japanese layout and page.
Yeah, it's just a great sequence, and Paul mentioned this in the Best Panels of the Week feature, where the little hidden gem in that was Alfred and Jonathan sort of bonding, which was nice.
Just leaning on a car that Jonathan hasn't seen since the last time Maltese Falcon breezed on through, and I love them, you know, commiserating on the porch because they sort of decided to spend the entire day, and Alfred concedes that, you know, I could have fixed that car like pretty quick and gotten out of here, but I think that young Master Bruce needed this, and Jonathan is the same of young Clark. So it's just like that, you know, one of those, it's this happenstance kind of thing, this serendipitous day. And, you know, a similar thing happened not too long before that, you know, when they first found Clark in that field. And it's all about serendipity. But
to say that wouldn't happen in a world where people can fly? Like, who knows?
Sure. You know, it's fun.
We've seen similar moments to that before, right? Like that. Like that.
John Lennon and Paul McCartney going to the same picnic, you know, just these things happen.
I like I also like the idea that Bruce is super smart and aware before he's gone insane and decided to be Batman. I'm serious. Like, it could be you could think that really kicked in, you know, later, but they, you know, he just whacks the kid in the head with a stick. Which is very indicative, I think, of the kind of personality he's going to be like. He's super confident in his decision, even though it seems like the dumb thing to do.
This has been a great series so far. Three issues have been wonderful. The fourth issue wraps up the storyline. Then we have to endure an art change, which I'm not thrilled about, but we'll talk about that when it actually happens. Let's not rain in this parade. But
I think the flashbacks have been my favorite part. I mean, going back to the first issue was when they were up in the tree back in Smallville. That was a favorite moment. And so while I love the stuff that Jay Lee is doing, Jay Lee did that scene in the first one. I like the stuff going on in the present, but the going and looking at the history sort of as a backdoor kind of premise to this series has been really cool.
He draws a great flying Superman.
Yes, he does.
I really like that panel where he just takes off and it's like shoom, and just very angular and sort of like a knife through the sky. It's really nice. I'm really happy this book is what it is.
Yeah, it's very odd. I'm like, how did you let this one by?
I don't know. Someone made a mistake. Someone didn't crush it before it got through the door.
Now.
Oops. So let's talk about a similar book, Justice League 23, and I'll explain why it's similar in a second. But first, this is the final issue of Trinity and Batman as well. Trinity War and Alfred also. Trinity War number 6, part 6 of 6. This has been the first quote-unquote event, although it's really been overshadowed by the next event, Villains Inc., United, whatever the Villain Incorporated.
Villains not going to have your regular books.
So this is a tale. Forever Evil is the next event. So this is a tale of two things. One, I loved this series, and two, I was annoyed by this series. Okay. And I'll give you the reasons why. The reasons why I love it is pretty simple. The first chapter and the last chapter, being the first one being the pick of the week and the last one being this one, were just tons of crazy DC, so almost Silver Age-y fun. The middle chapters are kind of middling and good, middling to good, depending on the chapter, but there weren't anything to write home about. But this issue was fantastic.
Okay.
The reason I didn't like it was because this was, if you look back on DC events like Crisis on Infinite Earths or Infinite Crisis or Final Crisis, for the most part, you can pick up those trades and you can read a story. You know, you may not like the story, but it's at least for the most part a complete story. Obviously, it ends off in a place where it can tell more stories, but for the most part, you get a complete story. This has been DC's Age of Ultron in that it basically just serves as a step to the next big event, which is the Evil whatever. So it didn't really end the story. The last page starts the Evil event. So really,
this is like a Marvel event.
It was like a Marvel event in that it didn't. There's no, you can't pick up Trinity War sometime in the future and get a complete story.
Yeah, my buddy Dave called this story as prologue. He was pretty angry about that. So
this is a prologue. But I love the actions in the prologue. So what am I supposed to do? I'm a little annoyed, but also really love it. So basically, the big reveal in this issue, and as we know, the Justice League, Justice League of America, and Justice League Dark have all been fighting each other for Pandora's box, while this mysterious character in the background who looks a lot like the Outsider from the Flashpoint miniseries has been manipulating everybody. And this issue is revealed that the Outsider is Alfred of Earth 3. The Trinity refers to Earth 3, and the crime syndicate from Earth 3 invades through the portal that happens when you open Pandora's box. Pandora's box is basically like Mother's box. It's not a box full of evil. It's actually a portal machine. You know, like Mother Box for Apocalypse. Pandora's box opens a portal up to Earth 3, and if through that comes the crime syndicate, all the
has
evil
anyone
versions.
Talked about the irony that DC has all this trouble with, you know, female fans and female creators and stuff, and the big evil is a box?
That's a pretty big stretch.
It's a big stretch. That's like when we used to stretch calling everyone at Marvel misogynist because all the villains were evil. That was a joke and a stretch. But anyway, Alfred is revealed to be the Alfred of Earth 3, the Outsider is Alfred of Earth 3. Anyway, I enjoyed the heck out of it. I enjoyed the crime syndicate. I enjoyed everything about this issue, except for the fact that it didn't end the story. So I'm a little torn. But thematically, it's similar because it's also about alternate Earths. And I'm glad they're coming back.
So there you go. A thing that happened this week that I did not expect, and it was pleasant, was Dark Horse released Station to Station, which was a one-shot story in issue form from Karina Becko. And
it was originally syndicated in Dark Horse Presents.
Yeah.
And I was annoyed because I didn't pick this up by accident.
It was very good.
It was very good.
It was a lot of fun. It was just a science fiction story about an invasion of not aliens, but, you know,
body smashers?
Interdimensional beings.
Yeah.
And they wrecked San Francisco.
From Earth 3?
It's sort of,
we really have a theme going here.
there's sort of I'm sure unintentional kind of similarity to the Pacific Rim movie that came out, where the kaiju are coming out of like a Lovecraftian extra dimensional rift in the ocean. But this is like Pacific Rim if it were like an episode of The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits.
Yeah,
like it's a very tight sometimes dry, but in a good way, science, like old school science fiction story.
You know what it reminded me of a little bit? The aliens in New Frontier. It's a lot like that, where all of a sudden there's dinosaurs everywhere and these huge disgusting things. Except there's no superheroes.
I think it's called The Creature from the Bulk. Yeah. In the sketchbook in the back. It's great. Some great work from Gabe and. What's cool about this is we've seen them do all this great stuff with licensed characters and worlds
and
like Star Wars.
This week Star Wars was a really great issue, probably my favorite one of the ones. So.
Without art, though.
Yeah, so they've done great stuff with Star Wars and with Planet of the Apes, and it's cool to see them get back into doing some of their own IP, and it looks like they want to. I can't believe I just said IP. To do that, to do more of that, it looks like it's a world they want to continue. So I'm very interested in that.
I'm annoyed because I went to a different store this week, and I was so disoriented that I didn't pick it up. I meant to. I'm annoyed. I feel like I'm a failure. I failed both of you, the audience, Gabriel and Karina.
At least you didn't only read half of it.
That's true. I'm not embarrassed. Like, well, you should have been. I'm just a failure.
Like, it's okay to feel like a failure, but that's still better than feeling dumb. And I have a lot of experience with both.
It's like I didn't hold it in my hands and go, yeah, this is good.
Yeah. So the thing is, I'll be honest, it's not the kind of thing you're going to expect.
No. I put it in the light week feature. It was my pick.
That's Josh true. Doesn't read what it goes on. Whatever.
I did. I read that article because I was the one who had posted it.
Let's gush a bit. Let's keep talking about Superman for the third of four books.
Superman.
Adventures of Superman 4, which is the paper compilation of some of the digital chapters. And it, holy shit. There was one story in here, and we talked about not doing this before the show, but I don't have the creators in front of me. It was the third story. The Chris Weston drawn. Rob Williams written might be the best Superman story I've read in forever. And I believe that this was being gushed about on Twitter by the likes of Mark Waid and Scott Snyder when it first came out digitally, about how this was basically the template for telling a Superman story. And I loved this. I actually loved all the stories, but this one, the Rob Williams one, is called Savior, was fantastic.
Yeah, there's the first story, just to go through them, the first story is Abnett and Lanning, and then Wes Craig drew a story, and it's sort of like Superman and Lex Luthor, like a day in the life, and then they meet up at the end. The middle one, which I also really, really liked.
Yeah, I liked that a lot too, the middle one.
Tom DeFalco and Pete Woods doing a story, but it's two plumbers in a diner. And the one guy is a disbeliever, a denier. I think it's called the denier. Talking about he doesn't believe he's never seen Superman. He doesn't believe in him. All this great stuff he's doing, and of course, in parallel, he sees Superman accomplishing all the things that he's saying he couldn't possibly do. And then at the end, Clark Kent waltzes into the diner, and the guy like stands up and goes over and wants to shake his hand. And the other guy's like, "Who's that? Some celebrity?" He's like, "Nah, that's my neighbor. That's Clark Kent, real salt of the earth kind of guy, just a good man." And there really are people like that. He's like, more people should aspire to be like Clark Kent. I really like that story. And a different style for Pete Woods.
Had a very like George Reeves ending. A very sort of George Reeves Swift mix of Max Fleischer ending.
Yeah, definitely. But then, yeah, the Rob Williams, Chris Weston story.
Made me giddy.
It did.
It really did. Like, this was Superman. This is how, first of all, Chris Weston's art was gorgeous. It had a very Brian Bolland feel to it.
Yeah,
mixed with Kurt Swan.
He's done a lot of. He's a English artist. He's done a lot of stuff for like 2000 AD. So like Judge Dredd stuff. I think his career. There's a lot of parallels to Brian Bolland.
But just the story, and it's hard to really describe. It's just, you know, it's sort of a greatest hit Superman thing, showing all the wonderful things he can do. But
it's from the point of view of Ma Kent.
It just captures that tone that is really apparently hard to do of who Superman is and why he is what he... I mean, there's this panel where he's flying off from the farm. There's always someone who needs saving, and that's basically Superman. That's Superman. He has to go save... You know, there's always someone who needs his help. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was great.
Really cool panel of Despero, which I wasn't, you know, expecting this week, but... just super pink. And if you look at that panel in Best of the Weekend panels, it just looks like box art from like a He-Man playset or something, or like a Super Friends thing. Like, it's just very old school looking, like 70s and early 80s packaging. And that was kind of cool.
Josh, another, did you read this?
Sorry, I was coughing. No, I have it right here though. I'm gonna read it immediately.
Cool.
Because
right now, I want to talk about another anthology, the American Vampire anthology, which they took out all the stops on this.
Read the names on the cover who were involved in this.
Okay.
Okay, you can do
Jason Aaron, Gabriel Ba, Fabio Moon, Becky Cloonan, Ray Fox, Francesco Francavilla, Jeff Lemire, Jean-Paul Leon, Tula Latte, Ivo Milazzo, which is a name I'm going to remember, Greg Rucka, Declan Shalvey, Gail Simone.
And Scott Snyder and Rafael Albuquerque. I mean, oops. this was an all-star lineup.
Hey, and guys, why don't you come do this book with me? It'll be fun.
Okay.
that's where the best stuff comes from.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of these stories is great. There's not a bad one in the mix, I think. It's Jason Aaron and Declan Shalvey, right, did the Roanoke story.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's an explanation for the, you know, the mystery, the conspiracy of the Roanoke settlement. And they theorized that there was a Native American group and they were there and they took out a settlement of European vampires.
Yeah.
And that's why there's nobody there.
It's pretty vague if you don't know that.
Right.
Like, it doesn't say Roanoke anywhere. Just.
Like, it's called
The Chonoke Indians, and then they're the Lost Colony. So.
I get that, but you still have to know your American history, and I mean
I assume everyone does.
I assume no one knows anything.
I think, Paul, you were really right in that there was not a bad story in this anthology. It also reinforced how much I love this whole world.
Yeah.
And the whole sort of mythology that's been created throughout the years that I've been doing this book, of the different vampire strains, the Vassals of the Morning Star, the heavy Hollywood influence. There's a lot of stories taking place in Hollywood, Hollywood here.
It fits in with our actual history. Like, it folds in with that. Like, it could be our world that you just don't know about.
Yeah, there's plenty of American and plenty of vampire. And one of my favorite stories is actually Canadian vampire. Jeff Lemire and that name that I said I would remember, Ivo...
Dr. Ivo?
Ivo Milazzo.
Dr. Evazan?
This beardy, wilderness man in Canada, and it's a lot of like white space, and that was kind of insane. No, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up names here.
Yeah, no, Ivo did the Raphael.
Did the watercolor one, which is also good. I included that in Best Panels as well. And it's the same kind of ferocity, but it was Ray Fox.
Yeah,
Ray Fox did the Canadian vampire one, and Jesus,
he's also Canadian, you see.
Yeah, but
I think the thing that was impressive about this was that I had a lot of books to read, and like this was, I don't know, this might be second to last by the time I got to it. And sometimes when you get to something that is like an anthology and you've read 15 books before that, you're kind of like, ugh. And I didn't feel that way at all. Like, I just was like, ooh, and another one, and it was over very quickly.
Yeah.
For a book that's of this size. And I mean that in the best way.
It was a giant size book.
Yeah.
Also, more Jean-Paul Leon interiors, please.
Well, yeah.
He's amazing.
Because the story he did with Rucka is crazy.
I love Shanghai. I love the concept of Shanghaiing people. Right? It's so strange. Like, you just take somebody and they wake up on a boat. And they
Portland's a really interesting place.
I like how nobody tried to pigeonhole themselves. Rucka did a Portland story. Jeff Lemire did a Canadian story. They all busted out of their little hole.
He literally can't help it.
This was great.
He's going to own Canada in comics. That's his
goal. I'm really looking forward to the return of this regular series, because I really do love these characters in this world. And, you know, Skinner Sweet's a great character. And, I love the way Raphael Albuquerque draws him. And just a really great Vertigo book.
Yeah, I hope they make a tradition of this, because this is really good.
Hey, dudes, come make my anthology. Okay, let's do it.
Yep. So this podcast is brought to you by Unity Number One. Unity Number One is coming out in November from Valiant Comics. If you're a longtime Valiant fan, you probably know that the name has major significance from the beginning and the ending of the 90s. It was an event sort of twice, I think in 92 and 99. It's
their crisis.
Yeah, it's like hearing the word crisis for the DCU. But this one's going to be written by Matt Kent with art by Doug Braithwaite. And it's a perfect entry point into Valiant. If you've heard all the great reviews, if you've heard all the buzz on the internet, it's a really good place to start, because they've done like a few crossovers and things here and there, but this is the first like really big line-wide event, and they're really touting it as a place where you can get to know all of these characters and how this world works. And this iteration of Valiant, the Valiant universe, hasn't been going on for that long, so you can go back if you find this stuff interesting and read from the beginning. So check out Unity Number One out in November.
Matt Kent's another good get from them.
Yes,
they're getting some good names.
He just did the Bloodshot Zero book, He's apparently a big fan of Valiant going back. So
they're going after guys who are good.
Yes, they are.
Guys who are popular. And I'm saying those are mutually exclusive.
And I mean, Doug Braithwaite, too. Doug Braithwaite's a great cat.
All good stuff. Declan Shalvey, again, he did all the books this week, as far as I can tell. Or at least something.
Two of them, at least.
Yeah, there was another one, too. I forget what it was. Deadpool number 15 introduces him. And what I thought was really interesting, this was the first time that the tone of this book... I actually checked the cover. I was like, do you still have... the same writers on it, and we do, but the tone was a little more somber. It was a little less goofy. I mean, it was still Deadpool in there, but it was actually a little. I was neat. I was like, hey, this character's got a little bit of flexibility.
What happened that made it somber?
Basically, it's a Mr. Freeze story.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it is. Mr. Freeze within Weapon X. But
it's not his wife; it's his daughter.
Yeah. So they want to harvest Deadpool to.
It was Heart of Ice, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, to cure cancer. It was like the Weapon X, like, it sounds like they accidentally figured out how to cure cancer. Like, as
and they lost it?
And then they're like, but I did. And it was like, did you follow through with that? And he's like, not really.
Now. Which are different movies, but still, whatever.
We had the cure for cancer and we lost it.
But yeah, I was surprised at like how poignant and, you know, serious this was for a good bit.
And
the,
well,
that's always the best thing is to mix tones, because I remember my favorite issues of the old Giffen Justice Leagues were when they got serious, because it always hit you harder because you're used to the jokes, and then something bad happens and you go, oh, because, you know, it's a change. And tonal change can be good when handled properly.
Yeah, I think it was here.
A couple of things I really liked about this was we find out that Deadpool sleeps in apartments where murders have been recently committed. That's a thing he does.
Yeah,
that's weird.
I don't know if that's a thing that's been around for a while, but he goes to visit Captain America and Wolverine. And then
there's a great cover for this issue.
I'm going to go ahead and give it away. He loses. Like at the end, there's a really nice sequence that doesn't seem to be clear. And then you go back to look at it and you're like, oh, that happened. So we've got sort of the next thing that's coming. It was a really good looking book.
I'm confused. He loses what? The battle? War?
Yeah. He loses the battle and Weapon X recaptures him and he's in like a back to tank thing.
He's in the back.
So with a lot of stuff hooked up to his junk.
Yeah. Well, that's where you get the best measure.
I'm just saying, there's like a million wires coming out.
You know from your eugenics study that if you're going to get a really good reading, you got to get at least eight wires.
If you're
going to
focus on any
junk,
part of the body, it's right.
It's junk reading.
That's where all the stuff is.
You want a really precise junk reading.
In fact, I don't even know why they call it junk.
Looks like we're getting a good reading on the heart meter. And then, how's the junk? Junk's good. Junk's good. All right, we're good. Let's proceed.
Guys, New Avengers number 9. I'm really digging this Infinity thing. I'm really digging this event. I like the space opera-ness of it, and I like that it's a two-front war. So, like, you know, the Avenger stuff, they're out in, at the edge of the solar system heading off to get the builders, and that stuff's kind of heady and everything. The stuff down on Earth is a little easier to wrap your head around. And there's this a great showing for Black Panther in this issue, and Namor, and their people are involved in a war, and Namor's kind of losing, and then he says to, you know, one of Thanos's lieutenants that Infinity Gem, that last Infinity Gem that isn't, you know, destroyed, that's somewhere else. And I'm like, well, where is it? He's like, it's over in Wakanda. So he just like totally fucks over Black Panther. So now they're gonna go and just like lay waste to Wakanda probably. But I love the scope of the story, and I think the New Avengers stuff is a good place to go if you're lost with a lot of the builders stuff and like all those weird looking creatures from the beginning of Hickman's Avengers run. I think it's approachable. But I love, also we got an email from a listener who said that we pronounced the name of the big purple guy wrong. And they didn't.
Connor, basically, the next thing was and.
They didn't include a pronunciation guide, so they didn't say how to correctly
say
it.
We've gotten that email before, and people want us to say Thanos instead of Thanos, but we are going to say Thanos because whatever.
Well, I'm going to try a couple different pronunciations.
Thanos.
So Thanos is coming.
Thanos.
He says it actually weakens the power of the Mad Titan by saying his name wrong. That's a thing that was in the email. So I'm going to say it right. Just say it. Thanos.
Apologize to Thanos.
Yeah. Thanos is coming.
I had this conversation with a writer on video once that we did not publish because that story didn't come out. Like, it was a whole gag thing we did in the video show. Mm. It was like Tenos.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that. All right, so...
Anyway, that dude doesn't know what he's talking about because the dude who's writing the book. There's no... Come on.
You know what will happen when, he shows up in the movie and the people call him by his name? That'll be the name. Yeah,
that will be. But right that now... Will.
Itty Bitty Hellboy number one, which is Franco and Balthazar's take on Hellboy. They previously did Superman Family Adventures and Teen Titans, so they were in the DCU doing their unique brand of all ages humor. And I didn't quite love this one as much as I loved Superman Family Adventures, but
yeah,
they have a really good sense of timing and non sequitur humor. And so a couple of these really made me laugh. And my favorite being the the homunculus Roger popping up in the bushes, going, "Hey, I like bushes." And just the guy running away. That made me laugh for a good 5 minutes.
Here's what was so interesting to me about this. It's the exact same thing.
I was going to say, they certainly have a formula.
Yep. It's like the same backgrounds. Yep. Like, it looks exactly the same. I knew, like, it would, you know, it's their style. And that's, you know, they put out the cover and everything. And I thought at least, you know, they'd use different, like, backdrops. But it's like they use the same set. And so it's interesting.
It's a fun diversion.
I think the DC stuff is a little bit stronger because I think they have a better handle on those characters.
Yeah, and I think it also feels more appropriate for some reason. But
get to play with the mythos a little bit more. And with this, it feels like they watched the two Hellboy movies and they went with that.
Here's the thing about this, though, is that, like, the DC ones, you can give those to kids and it works, but you're not going to give the Hellboy.
You could.
I mean, you could, but it doesn't have any.
There's no cultural resonance.
None. And as a result, like, it's just
the jokes
weird.
Aren't as funny.
Like, the jokes are a bit more surfacey. They're just about, I have a big giant hand, yeah, or I can turn into a ghost and I sneeze myself out of my costume. And so it's like it's like the first joke. It's the very first joke you think of. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know.
I really enjoyed seeing their crazy serial killer-esque notebooks in the back, though. Yeah. Just the way they showed how they plot out the stories with their art books, and it's
like that's what Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt would find.
Yes, that's what they found.
That was like New York Comic Con when you found my Molsky notebook, and you're like, what the fuck is this? It's like how I take notes.
It's very interesting to see the artistic process, and it's definitely unique. But no, it was a little bit of a disappointment, but I did find a couple of jokes there that made me laugh. So I'll probably give the second one a shot. Yeah, it's only five issues, and I'll probably read the whole thing.
I can't say it was a disappointment. It's just it is what it is.
I loved Superman Family Adventures. I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
But
so
that
was
really your thing, and they, you know, like you said, they had a handle on it. I thought Lazarus number three was this series is progressing exactly as we thought it would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's building. And he's weaving, and we're getting to see more and more of this world, and Rucka and Lark work as well together as any creators around today. And I, you know, it's a novel is all this is. We're at the beginning of a novel, and I'm just gonna sit back and hang out. I really liked the character development of Lazarus and the other Lazarus,
Forever and Joaquin.
Joaquin, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mentioned in American Vampire how much I love the world. I love the world they're building here.
I like how it's real.
I like how it feels very real. And I love the back part because he's doing the timeline, the backstory timeline in the back part. So you can read how the world fell apart and what happened and all the machinations and things. I really think this whole package is wonderful.
There's a way, and this is what's really good about him, is that there is a way that if he tried to put all of that information in the story itself, mm-hmm, it would be awful.
Right.
Like, if he tried to over-explain, because I've read stories like this where somebody comes with this amazing world that they've built and all the reasons for it and all the logical answers and all that stuff, and they try to put it in the story itself, and it's just bogged down with
info dump. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not good. He's wisely stayed away from it. It's in the back. If you want to look at that, that's fine. If you don't, you're also going to be fine. You can sort of fill in the blanks on your own, and it all works out logically. But I dug it.
And it's getting this old, you know, level of Game of Thrones, level of, you know, cloak and dagger kind of thing, and incest, where they want to take her out. And they're like, you can't take her out. She's like immortal, but she's like, not really. Like, they're even equivocating over, like, how the world works themselves. I think it was important that Forever get out of her own compound and get to, I mean, there was the cold open in the first one, but really step out into the larger world. And so we got to see that with issue three. And I think that was really important to progress the story that much and get us just to meet another Lazarus. And I was expecting it to be, you know, this bloody encounter. I mean, given the cover. Now, the cover happens, but it's not Lazarus versus Lazarus. It's actually there's a level of commiseration between the two Lazari.
Yeah, that was nice.
In this issue, and that was surprising and really cool, and was I think an important humanizing thing for the character, because especially since there's not a human doing the performance in like a movie or a TV series, and it's just on a comic page, I didn't know how cold, and you know robot like this character was. So it's
now you know she's basically
now I know that it's not person. That she's a person, but she's just been engineered to be this way.
I want to reiterate my warning that I came from in the first issue that we talked about. If you fuckers don't buy this and I don't get to read the whole thing, I will come for you.
I think it's doing pretty well.
We need to keep that, no slipping on this.
All right,
it's an investment.
Yeah,
and I think it rewards each issue. It's just
I will if
it
you,
does
if,
it is novelistic.
If
like
you
Justin.
Comment online and say nothing's happened yet, I'm going to find your address and I'm going to blow your house up.
This is also
iFanboy does not endorse that statement whatsoever. No. You can email Josh at iFanboy.com.
Just as a like a symbolic explosion.
That is not. He's not speaking for the company.
Okay, I am speaking for the company when I say that. Read the back matter. There's some really helpful information about what's happening in eugenics right now.
All right, so
it's true.
Do you guys remember how we were worried that after the epic 11 issue Thor opening story that this series would fall off?
Yeah,
and we would get disappointment, but that was a dumb worry.
Yes, it was.
This was number 12 here. This was almost pick of the week. It could have been almost just as easily.
This is my favorite issue of the year. This is just so good.
this was you know what this was actually a little flashback to? You know what this felt like?
What?
This felt like the Somni book. Thor got
Mighty Avenger.
Thor the Mighty Avenger. This was like an older version of that guy.
Well, it's Thor and Jane.
Yeah. And but not even that, just like it was. It's one of the reasons. It's one of the, like, we always see this, like, why does Thor go to Earth? Because he likes the women and the liquor. And this was a little more, well, we were talking about Lazarus, but, you know, it makes him a little more human. It shows.
It was a great device in that it opened with young Thor again, as we return to the three Thors. Young Thor is asked that question, why do you constantly come back to Midgard when you could hang out with the gods all day? Cut to, a long story of a couple days in the life of Thor as he does thing. It's not a story so much as a series of interesting moments where he visits people in prison who presumably have prayed to him, and he goes into a shield graduation dance because a girl asked him out on YouTube, and he's
bringing gifts from the rest of the nine realms to Earth. Like, he gives the last fruit of this amazing tree to this convict on Death Row that apparently he's been visiting over the years. And
seeds to a convent so they can plant special crops, and goes and talks about life with a monk in Tibet and all just kinds of great things, and goes and visits Jane, who is apparently dying of or has cancer, and that was really sad. And then at the end it ends with old King Thor, who is finally with the Rainbow Bridge repaired, makes his return to Midgard because he says Thor will always return to Midgard. But it's millennia from now, and it's basically a wasteland. So.
And I love the conceit of this issue because it's like
150 years. That's all.
Yeah, so
it's many millennia from now.
Yeah, but it's been the same for a really long time.
Okay.
Turned out it was yogurt. We shouldn't have been making it.
it's all that probiotic stuff.
No, it's when a Greek yogurt became popular. It's just too much for anybody to handle. It's so fucking creamy.
Ugh,
with the X-Men between really big events, they have their baseball games.
Yeah.
It would be cool if this became a tradition where Thor returns to Midgard after a big cosmic, you know, battle. And I love that idea that this is home, and he takes time out and visits all of these people. And after the crazy,
and also, you know, he goes and hangs out on a fishing boat, apparently.
Yeah,
that's what all the cool heroes do. I'm going to watch out, though, because apparently after that, he's just going to destroy a major city.
drink some mead, meets with some veterans, and all this stuff. And I found all of it just really touching, but in an honest way, not in like a maudlin kind of way. Yeah. And I mean, even, you know, Jane turning up with, you know, her head shaved and she's going through chemotherapy and everything and she could be dying. And she says, you know, I don't want you going off to some other realm to get me to visit the shaman or to get me this magic cure from a magic flower, fungus or whatever. I want to do this on my own. I want to go through this. And he admires that in her, and you see why that he would travel all these many realms for this woman,
but she has a boyfriend now. Now Thor has a new love interest in his date.
Possibly.
It's well, fun. That's what Jason Aaron says in the letters column, that she's the new love interest.
Oh, okay.
He likes to. He did that for Wolverine too, and nobody followed up on it. But remember that, like in his Wolverine story, yeah. Like he made her a girlfriend too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Roz Solomon, environmental scientist for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. I thought Nick Klein did a really good job with this, and I actually thought the best things that he did were the personal moments.
Yes.
Those pages actually looked a lot better than, you know, like sort of the Thor just standing there in armor. Which was really interesting. So the character acting of it, I thought was really good.
He's dialed in.
Yeah.
He's dialed in this character.
I'm guessing that Jane Foster was eating Greek yogurt.
Too much.
Away from it.
No, the important thing about this is that it's really, really good, but it's so, so different from Thor God of Thunder number 11. So it shows that he's good at doing all these different versions and tones of stories with Thor.
Also, if you've been hearing us praise the heck out of or praise the Thor out of Thor, or the hell of the 1L, but you don't want to pick up an 11 issue story, pick up this one. Pick up this one issue and check it out, because it's a self-contained story. I mean, yeah, there's more weight to it because of what's happened before, but you don't need to know. You just need to know he's been through some shit and he's gone home. So pick it up and see if you like it. Because
yeah, this is just. It's like a great one shot.
They allude to that when they talk about Hercules in this.
True. Everything goes back to the Greeks.
I'm telling you.
Listen, you already pissed off the Canadians last week. Are we going for Greeks? Just because you live in Astoria
I actually live in a town with one of the major yogurt producers. That's one of our industries here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yogurt
and freedom. Libertarian.
So those are the comics we're going to talk about this week. Go to ifanboy.com/comics. You can make your pull list. You can rate and review your books. You can also choose your own pick of the week. And we like to run down the top five picks of the week chosen by the audience at the time of recording. And it's fun because I didn't even look at these numbers beforehand, so I don't even know what I'm about to read. Number five, Batman and Superman, number three with 4.5% of the votes, which was the official iFanboy pick of the week. Number four, Deadpool 15 with 5.2% of the votes. Number three was Justice League 23 with 14.1% of the votes. Number two, American Vampire Anthology with 20.5% of the votes. And the number one book as chosen by the audience, the aforementioned Thor, God of Thunder, number 12, 31.5% of the votes.
All good choice.
Five good books there. I assume Deadpool is good.
I like the spread on that this week. One of them, I was like, yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at Wraith1701's review for Avengers Arena number 14, story 5 out of 5, art 4 out of 5, pick of the week percentage 0.9%. This series was teased as Battle Royale with superheroes, and I guess it is, but it also turns out that the book is a great teen drama, and by great, I mean believable, which is weird when you consider the fact that the teens in question turn into dinosaurs, breathe underwater, or can recover from multiple gunshot wounds in a matter of seconds. Despite the superpowers, these characters feel more authentic than the cast of your average teen drama on the WB or CW or whatever channel kids watch today.
They don't watch TV.
Another great issue. This really is, he's right. I mean, these are very believable characters, and doesn't matter what they can do, if they have to be believable underneath all those powers, and these are. And we're finally, you can get a sense we're finally getting towards the end. I believe doesn't this sort of end with this, what happened in the first issue where X-23 was fighting with what's her name?
Hazmat.
Wasn't that the first? That's how the story opened, with the two of them fighting. And this really feels like the turning point towards the conclusion of the story, and that, you know, and that cliche, all hell's broken loose on the island, and X-23 has been turned feral by the gas that triggers her hormones, her pheromones, or whatever you want, makes her go crazy. So
ox urine.
This feels
yogurt.
Boss level part 1 of 5, and I feel like this is probably looking at towards the
raspberry.
End of the series.
Well, boss, so yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Todd Frazier, just a simple name there. The Flash, number 23, gave the story a 5 out of 5 in the art. A 5 out of 5 pick of the week percentage was 0.1%. And he's serial storytelling at breakneck speeds. In reverse is visually stunning. The panel breaks. The use of color to heighten the tone of motion and action is superb. Buccoletto and Manipul are one of the many shining gems of a creative team to come out, emerge in the New 52s, two years and still running strong. The art is just the start. The storyline, which started out as a jog, reaches a full run of discoveries, twists, and cliffhangers. Readers who have been writing the in-reverse storyline are compensated with an excellent payoff and given something to think about over the 60-day wait for the next part of the story. Somebody's trying to get a job working for DC Comics PR.
No, this is a good issue. He's not wrong. This is Flash and Reverse Flash have finally met. This is a different Reverse Flash. It's not Eowyn Thrawn or however you say his name. This is actually Iris West's brother is revealed to be the Reverse Flash because of all the people that were sucked into the Speed Force early on came out with speed powers, and he came out as the Reverse Flash. So really, and this is a Manipul issue, some really great innovative layouts, and he really does try to play with the idea of speed in his panels and his storytelling. Doesn't always work, but when it does work, it's really interesting.
Is this one of the teams that you thought would have still been going this long when the New 52 started? Because you remember talking about, like, they have all these artists, you know,
right,
as writers. And
well, if he hasn't drawn all 23 issues, so, you know, he's probably done three.
But as a writing team, though.
I don't know. I don't think I thought about it.
Okay.
But I didn't know anything about him. Like, the guys who I knew were writing, the artists who I knew were writing, a lot of them I knew weren't very good at, or at least from what I'd read. So those people I kind of knew weren't going to last, but I didn't have any experience with his writing, so I didn't know.
And I'm saying it's a pleasant surprise, not I was setting them up for failure. It's just that they had the confidence.
Everyone's what can draw can't write.
That's right, exactly.
If you can use your pencil, you can't use your keyboard.
It's true. There's no historical precedence for it whatsoever.
None.
Those are the comics. Go to fanboy.com/comics, you can rate and review your books. Now, Josh, tell the people in whatever accent you choose about how to help the website out, or the show out.
I'm going to use my regular one. Is that okay?
That's fine. It's a little disappointing, but...
You could... I can't, like the cold is just... I have no wit. This is when I would say something clever. Shit.
Do it as a guy who really likes yogurt.
Dear Stamos.
That's a non sequitur.
Do your Stamos or do your Jamie Lee Curtis?
What?
Also, Michael Weston on Burnout.
You look kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis.
You know how you can help the show out? Go to fanboy.com/Amazon. You can buy all your Amazon purchases through there. You can find a link. Takes you to Amazon. Everything you buy, we get a little piece of. It doesn't add any price to your purchase, but it does take a little bit away from Amazon. So I wouldn't say damn the man because it is helping us out. But I will say if you want to help us out.
It's a useful service.
It's a useful service. I myself ordered a couple of DVDs this week or Blu-rays from them and came promptly, and that was nice. So, you know you shop at Amazon because everybody does because you have no choice because there soon that'll be the only place to shop. Mm-hmm. So since you're doing it anyway, go to fanboy.com/Amazon and help us out.
Get True Lies on Blu-ray.
Yeah, or Halloween.
Do you want to guess what movie I bought?
I was like, you're still buying movies, huh?
It's a movie featuring... Actually, I bought three movies, but the one I really am excited the most about was a movie featuring a guy you sent me a YouTube clip of today on Instant Messenger.
How the fuck are we supposed to guess that?
Oh, Josh, I know you bought. You bought Beverly Hills Cop.
Two? I only own one. I wanted two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah, close. Thank you.
Let's do a couple
of
emails.
Wait. Beverly Hills Cop. So wait, what you're saying is Beverly Hills Cop 2 is a... What kind of movie would you say it is?
Fantastic movie?
No, I don't think that's
great.
Not,
it's a great movie.
There it is. You yogurt bastard.
Let's do a couple of audience questions. Tom from Redford, Michigan writes and says, once upon a time, books used to sell in the hundreds of thousands of copies on a regular basis. Today, not so much. So what happened? Could it be that trade paperbacks were the beginning of the end for mass comic book consumption? Bear with me for a second as I try to explain this hypothesis. With a growing library of back matter collected and readily available, it's taken away from the thrill of the hunt. It's gotten too easy to read those holy grail issues that only used to be found in dusty long boxes without the extended search keeping you longing for that unread chapter. Did people just read the stories they wanted to and then get bored and drift away sooner than they would have if they weren't those pesky holes in their collection keeping them up at night? I consider myself equal parts collector and reader, so maybe I'm reading too much into this collecting aspects of the hobby, but I throw it to you guys. What do you think?
No. I don't
know if that particular thing would contribute to new issues not selling as well.
Two things.
Okay, go ahead.
One is the death of the newsstand. Yep. And the basically the 7-Eleven or wherever you brought your comics that wasn't a comic store.
I haven't been in a 7-Eleven since 1999.
And then two was just the change in culture. Yeah. Video games, movies, the internet.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what people do with their spirit. Kids, you know, in the 40s when comics sold a million copies in during the war, it's because the kids had the choice of listening to the radio, playing outside, or reading a comic. I mean, there wasn't a lot of choice.
There is no monoculture anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be that at night, everybody watched Johnny Carson. Right. Period. And that was what happened. And you know, like, there were three channels, and you watch this. And since then, you've seen everything has gone down in terms of its lifestyle market share. They're just... Everybody can specify the things they like to such a great extent that... It's really hard for something to be that popular for everything unless it's really dumb, apparently.
Especially something like comics, which, right. when, you know, but even before that happened, you know, even at the time people were watching Johnny Carson mm-hmm. at the end, comics weren't selling a lot because, well, not Johnny Carson, but
they
you know,
still had cable. They were
still in the newsstand at Johnny Carson. But basically,
Nintendo Entertainment System, like, starting.
As choice increased, so did the drop in sales of comics. And as you couldn't find them anymore, but unless you went to a store, sort of the sales go down.
I want to comment on what he said because I think he's way off. I know that's mean, but the idea, like he's talking about a collector mentality where it's super fun to go look for. That's not going to be the thing that increases the audience. That's a very specific, very niche-y thing that is not, you know, that's not for everybody. I don't think that's a thing. If anything, I think that the availability of story. It's the opposite. It makes everything more accessible, and accessible is better than inaccessible. I love comics. I don't want to hunt through dusty bags. I don't have any patience for that. I didn't have any patience for that when I was a kid.
You might get asbestos.
You don't know. At the very least, I have allergies. Just as a start.
Just the dust. Dust is a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but I really don't think it's trade. I do think it's availability plus cultural shift.
But see, that's actually a really good example of that guy's specific niche interest in the way that this works. That's what he likes. And, you know, now you have the choice to do that in a certain way if you want to. You can go look for back issues if you don't want to get the trade, and lots of people do. That's why eBay exists. That's why, you know, half of a comic book convention floor is covered in that. It's just that everybody likes something a little... Everybody wants to have it their way, and you get to now a lot more than you could then.
Have it your way, like... is that
Burger King.
What Burger King. There you go.
Extra pickles.
Any sort of history of slogans of fast food places, I'm going to be your man for that. I miss
as a kid eating fast food. Not healthy, but, you know, 99-cent Whopper days, those were great.
They still have
Whopper Wednesdays.
I know, but now I'm an adult Whopper and I realize how awful that would be for me to do. So
sometimes it's easier, is all I'm saying.
So thank you, Tom, for writing in. You can email us at contact@fanboy.com, or you can call our voicemail line at 888-FANBOY 326-2697 if you want to have a question for the show. So now this is the time normally we talk about, you know, our other podcasts or make announcements. We have an announcement to make on this episode. And it's a big one, and it's a tough one, and we're going to try our best to get through this. Actually, if you go to fanboy.com, you'll be able to read this announcement in a much more lucid form. We released the announcement to go along with the show, so many of you may have already read it, actually, before we even listened to it, but we have big news. It's been 13 years since we started iFanboy. Josh and Ron and I started it we started working on it in early 2000 and launched in late 2000. It's been 2013 now, and we've been doing it for a long time, working on iFanboy practically every day of those 13 years. It's outlasted everything in our lives but our family, basically. It's the thing we've done, you know, forever, and we've decided that finally it's the time to scale back. We've been talking about it for a long time. It's been a discussion we've been having amongst ourselves with Ron, whoever, for over a year now, just looking at our lives and where we are and how different they are and how much time we don't have anymore to do things the way we'd want to do them. And we just decided that it was best to scale back operations on iFanboy.com, which is the website. Where everything started. So that means starting from the moment this show was released, there'll be no new content on iFanboy. There'll be no new articles, no new features, no pick of the week, no comics page, nothing that we've been doing for
the
last.
Tell them the good thing.
Tell the good thing.
Tell the good thing, because it got grim.
The good thing is we're not stopping entirely. The website's still going to exist as a place that hosts this podcast and all of our other family of podcasts. So those are all going to continue as they had before. So that means every week you're still going to get to hear the show. You're still going to get to hear us talk about comics. You're going to still get to hear us make dumb jokes about movies you might not have seen. Goodfellas references, all Josh's accents, all that stuff's going to continue on as normal, as well as the occasional special edition show. You know, we're still going to talk about movies that come out. We're still going to have the Animated Brain Trust meet. We're still going to do Talk Explodes on occasion, our interview show. We're still going to do Book Explodes on occasion, our book in-depth review show. We're still going to do all kinds of fun stuff through the podcasts. But we had to sort of take a look at our time and our lives and what we couldn't do anymore, and had to make some changes. And what we decided to do was continue to do the shows because it's our favorite thing, and cease operations on the website. So that is the big announcement. And may have rambled on a bit there because it's suddenly getting very hot in here. But you can go read. We posted a long article about this on the website. There's testimonials from everybody in the staff who wanted to contribute and talk about, you know, the website and all that stuff. So you can really go there. There's questions you can answer. The membership program is going to stay on in a modified form if you want to continue to help. If not, you can email us and we'll cancel your membership. All the information, you have questions there, they'll be there. We'll also answer them in the comment section if you have more specific questions that haven't answered in the post. But that's the news. The news is that iFanboy.com is being scaled back to just a place to host the podcast. The podcast will continue on, and you're not completely rid of us yet.
Wait, what's that mean?
Well, that means there's still the shows to listen to. If they still want to hear us babble about comics, they can do that.
Okay. Less for your eyeballs, more for your ear holes. And I think some of the stuff that we maybe would have covered and talked about on the website, maybe we'll find a place in the podcast to talk about those a little bit.
I think there's definitely going to be, we're going to talk about adapting a little bit. I think
the show's going to change a bit. We've got a whole middle section now that no longer is relevant in terms of the user reviews and the users' picks. So we'll have more room to play with, maybe talking about covering maybe trades a bit more, or basically whatever the hell we want, because it's our show. But you know, we'll try to play with the format. It won't change too drastically. You know, we're not going to freak anybody out. It's not like we're going to become a magazine show or a news show or anything. But
we're
still going to
put Sting music in the middle, right?
We're going to talk about the pick of the week, and we're going to talk about the books of the week. But with the other time in the show, we're going to play around and maybe talk about some other things and have some fun. It's going to be a good time, and we're really going to let loose because it'll be our only time of the week to talk about comics as opposed to every other day of the week. So that is the news. You guys have anything else to add to my... I'm just going to keep rambling because it's 13 years and I'm about to have a heart attack.
I don't know why. I can't... Connor said all of the things, but we just... I know for Connor and I... Like, Paul is the guy who's been running things. You know, like, he's really been the dude keeping going for, you know, circumstances as they are. Connor and I couldn't really put the time into it that we want to. And so every time somebody's like, you should do this. And we're like, we'd really like to. But it was getting too hard. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was, as you know, if you've been on the website, you've noticed there's less content than there used to be, but like, people didn't complain about it very much, which I always thought was fascinating. Like, people still gave us the benefit of the doubt and said, you know, like, oh, I still like it. And we didn't want to let anybody down anymore. Like,
we have very high standards for ourselves, and you can insert your own joke about how the quality of the content throughout the years, but we have a high standard for ourselves that we just weren't meeting anymore. And we just looked at the circumstances being what they were. We weren't going to be able to meet them. And we decided, instead of letting it linger as something we loved that was dying in front of our eyes, we would just put it down like old Yeller.
But we couldn't walk away to the extent that we wanted. We can't stop doing this.
Yeah. We've been doing it for 13 years. We can't, you know, we're not walking away. We're just doing it a different way, in the best way we can right now. It's just what has to be done. And I want to thank... Most specifically, Paul, as Josh mentioned, he's really been the glue for the whole thing for the last couple of years as we've gone through many transitions, holding it together, doing the majority of the work. I really want to thank all of our staff. Well, we listed all in the article and website, but everyone who's ever written for us, all of our columnists, everyone who's come in for however brief amount of time. Thank you to all of them. And really, more importantly, thank you who've listened, who've come to the website, who make your pull list, who rated and reviewed books, who spent all day arguing about dumb stuff in comics. That's really why we created the website. I mean, you can sometimes forget as you get deep into this thing, but I was thinking about it as I was helping write that piece, is that, you know, Josh and Ron and I sat down after college and we said, let's create a cool place to go to people want to go and talk about comics, and that's what we ended up doing. So thank all of you for making that as a possibility, and I'd be remiss without thanking Ron, who helped who left her image but helped found the site and helped, you know, it was as big a part of this as anybody. And he, you know, he's so, you know, thanks to everyone, basically. I'm just going to keep rambling.
Just briefly, I really want to thank you guys because I came to this as a fan first and you know, gave me some great information and a sense of community to get back into comics as an adult. And also, like, more importantly, gave me a place to, you know, figure out my voice as a writer and to do that.
Mind carp.
Yeah. That was it's been like five, six years for me and it's been home and I really appreciate, you know, you guys giving us the forum to do that. And I think we had a great run, and I think we had a lot. I think that the thing we should be most proud of is the voices on the site. That there isn't just an iFanboy voice. There's iFanboy voices, and you know, we got to see that from the start with each of you guys and Ron and with Jim and Mike and Sonia and myself and all of the new contributors that have come along in the years since. Writing in their own way and not just conforming to a cookie cutter style. And I'm very proud of that. And I'll continue to be proud of that. And I'm glad that all of that content will still be available for people to see.
Yes, that's important to note forward. As well. We're not deleting the content. It'll still be there for you to access, to read. You know, if you need to know where to start with Catwoman, you'll still be able to find out. Or if you want to, you know, whatever. I'm starting to find out what's wrong with you. I'm starting to spiral, but yeah, if you want to find out what's wrong.
If you want to see what Mindcarp is, if you want to see me walk to San Diego, all that stuff. If you want to see my good reviews, if you want to see my bad reviews, it's all in there. I'm not going to say which one's which, but you can.
Also,
you can,
if you're in the St. Louis area, just check on Jim. I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to tell you about this before, Paul, and Sam had you on the show like this.
Yeah, I know. This is scrambling.
Can anybody tell how I've decided to deal with this?
Yeah, I don't want anyone to think. First of all, I know people will be upset or confused or whatever, and we apologize. We don't take this lightly. We did not take this lightly in a sense. This was an agonized decision.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it for a year. Even after announcing it to the staff a while ago, it was an agonizing thing. This has been eating us up alive. Having to make it, you know, this has been, as I said, we've been doing this almost every day for 13 years in some form or another.
Our entire adult lives, basically.
And, you know, it's, I get sort of nauseous thinking about it. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. It's just, it's going to be weird, but it's something that had to be done. And
I'm going
to
be tweeting a lot.
Sometimes those things have to be
done. I'm going to be tweeting a lot more.
Sometimes unpleasant things have to be done. So, unfortunately, this is how it's going. But, you know, we're looking forward to the next chapter. I think the shows will be fun. I think they'll be a lot looser, more fun now that we, you know, we'll be able to play around a bit and who knows what the future will bring. But for now, you know, this is happening. So this is normally where I tell you to go to iFanboy.com to check out all the great content. But
you can still do that.
So you can still check out all the old great content and we'll have a new outro for you next week. But, you know, thanks to everyone who ever went to iFanboy, checked out the great content, and to everyone who ever wrote anything for it to create the great content. And thank you for all that stuff. You can still follow us at twitter.com/iFanboy and facebook.com/iFanboy. We'll still be using that to talk about what we're doing and, you know, when the shows come out and things like that. So you'll still want to be, you know, involved in that kind of thing. And you'll still want to email us at contact@iFanboy.com. You'll still want to call us at 888-FANBOYS 326-2697 to call in for the show because we're still going to have the show. And you still want to write a review on iTunes. So you're not going to lose most of this stuff.
You just did everything.
I did. I just decided I was on a roll.
So does this mean the video show's coming back?
Fuck you. So,
we want to thank you again for being our audience. And without knowing some of the people that are in our audience that we've got the chance to meet at conventions and then online and Twitter over the years, it wouldn't be able to write all of the bazillions and bazillions of characters we did on iFanboy.com. Knowing that someone was there and listening and challenging us to do it for a while.
It wasn't very good. It was only when people started listening they were like,
I'm talking about the people that I brought to the website when I came here.
No, talking about the first five crap years?
The Paul Army.
Let's not call it that. But
then
no,
I look like Jamie Lee Curtis. Whatever I say.
Is it better or worse if I say True Lies Jamie Lee Curtis?
Ooh, better.
She's part man, right?
No, she's not.
All right.
What about Trading Places, Jamie Lee Curtis?
House Arrest, Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm going with Trading Places.
So there you go. That's our big announcement. Like I said, you can go to fanboy.com. You can read the full thing. You can read all the staffers' thoughts, and then you can ask any questions that you don't feel have been answered adequately in this rambling mess and or in the article, and we'll try to get to them all.
It's not you. It's us.
Yes, exactly. Things change. All things must
go with your platitudes, man. Go with it.
All right, everyone. Until next week, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
Thanks, everybody, so much. Your boy is back. The bounce is back.